The corner. The corner. The corner. Hey, welcome. Come on into Cousin Ed's Corner. This podcast where you'll find real, authentic conversation. Organic conversation. Unscripted, unfiltered conversation. Like you're home with your cousin. It's all about life. It's about finance. It's about spirituality. It's about love and everything in between. I'm your host, Cousin Ed. I'm excited to bring you along on this journey. So sit back and listen in as we dive into a wide range of topics. I have some diverse guests coming on with an array of thoughts and opinions. My goal is to create a space all for us to connect and communicate. It's not really about me. It's about the community as a whole. Let's enjoy it. Let's sit back. Let's think about our past. Let's move into our future. It's about
the corner, the corner, the corner. So no matter how you cut it or slice it, we're all here together. I'm just here to give you peace of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my mentals. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Cousin Ed's Corner. The corner, the corner, the corner.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What's going on, fam? It's your boy, Cousin Ed. We're back. We're back. We're back. This is Cousin Ed's Corner, and I am honored. I am happy. I am smiling from ear to ear. I got a friend of the show, a family member of the show, a queen of the show, a sister of the show. She got so many titles, but I definitely stay with the friend. She has changed my life. I don't know if she knows this, but she changed my life after the last time we recorded, and I was waiting to have her back, and I'm glad to have her back this time. So for those who missed out the first time, go back and check out the show with, I was in the corner. I couldn't get out of the corner, the true corner. The show was taken over by Dr. Pia Washington and Atrice Hart. So Queen Atrice Hart, thank you for coming back to Cousin Ed's Corner.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy last time, and I know this time the topic is a little different. I have to say I was even teetering, like, do I do this? But I do believe that it's important to, in the moment, be raw, be authentic, and so I'm happy to be with you today.
I appreciate it. So she teed it up a little bit just now. We had a pre-conversation, and as y'all know, like she just said, authentic and organic, that's what this show is. So when I bring guests on, I don't really tell them topics. We just come, you come to your cousin house, you have a conversation. And I wanted to have a conversation with her that touches home for me. And I wanted to be mindful to ask her first. So I asked her first, is it okay? And she said yes. So I appreciate that. So normally I would have her on for when my sister wins, we all win. And, you know, she's a queen and she's out there winning, doing big things. In her own rights, in her own industry, but this topic is closer to home for her and myself, and wanted to change up the show that she's going to be on, and it's going to be Thank God for Everything. So, you know, on Fridays, everybody say Thank God for Friday. We're going to do Thank God for Everything, as we always do over here at Cousin Ed's Corner, but this is going to just be thanking God for life, thanking God for the opportunities we have in life. And just talking through a scenario that a lot of us are going through, dealing with family care, life care, elderly care, any kind of care you're doing for another person in your life. It doesn't have to always be elderly. It could be someone who's sick, sick and shut in. It could be a kid that you had that going through something. It's a bunch of things that people go through that majority of people don't have to go through until you get to that point. So I thank you again. Like I said, this is heavy for me, but if you don't mind, let's first tell people who haven't heard the show. So if you haven't heard the show, go back and check out the show with her and Dr. Washington. It'll be in the show notes, but tell them who you are. Tell them a little bit about yourself. And then we're not jumping. We're slowly got our way into this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you just for this platform and all that you do. So I am Antrice Hart. I am a wife. I'm a mother of three boys and now a grandmother. But listen, I'm not allowed. Look, I told him, I said, can't call me grandma. How about Lovey? Since my last name is Hart, we're doing Lovey over here. So that I am a regional business director in the biotech pharmaceutical industry. I am a lover of God and a believer. I am also a caregiver. And I know we'll be focusing more on that aspect of who I am.
Yes, indeed. She left out. She's an author.
I am an author. That's right. And listen, I never know what gift God's going to use in a season. I've been in different things. So I've also done choreography. I've sung. So a lot of different things. I love the arts. And so, yeah. But yeah.
And it does show. It does show. Definitely go out and visit her page. We'll give out her contact information later on. Before I even go into it, I just gave a young lady your information. She said your page is private, so she told me to forward her information so you can accept her. So
absolutely,
told her that you'll be a great contact as a mentor because you're doing great things. So definitely.
Oh, please, that, and please give her my LinkedIn. I try to be, as we were, you know, intentional about what I put so that it really can hopefully make impact for people, whether it's professionally or personally as well. So I'll do both. I love that.
Definitely. She just mentioned intentional. So on the last show, her and Dr. Washington was talking and we talked about being intentional in things that you do. And we all know that, you know, I feel I'm very dedicated to a lot of things, but when you don't have intent behind what you're doing, you can do things and just do them aimlessly without intent. So that changed my whole dynamic and thinking about just being more intentional with the things I do. So I appreciate that conversation. And like I said, it did change my life.
What a blessing. What a compliment.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Do you see, like I said, it's all organic. I want to compliment you for supporting the show, right? And everybody out there, go to her page on Instagram. Can you give them your Instagram?
Yep, it's Antrice Hart. There's not many Antrices. A-N-T-R-I-E-C-E. Last name Hart, H-A-R-T. I keep it easy. And then I also have one that it's not private, and that's Inspired by Antrice.
Definitely.
All one word.
So I am on the site going to, you know, the feeds automatically pop up everything that people do, right? So we're friends, it pops up everything. So I never go to your page. I just see the pictures and posts and everything. So we're going to record, and I said, let me go see if anything on there that I need to know. No, actually, I'm telling a story. I went to share your page with the young lady, and it's within the last 2 days. So I knew I was going to see you, and I went to share your page, and you would not believe what's on your page.
What?
A link to the last show.
Oh, absolutely. I keep that on there.
I said, I am so honored. I felt like it was the biggest thing ever. So that touched my heart right there also. So I appreciate that.
Of course. Like I said, I'm being real when I say I appreciate what you do. It's so beautiful how you're putting and pumping out positive energy and encouraging us. It's incredible. And as a Black woman, how you have, when my sister wins, like, again, that's intentional about uplifting Black women is incredible.
I appreciate it. I give credit to Aisha and her organization, Sisters in Business Expo, for the slogan and putting that seed in me. But I would have did it anyway. Just I needed a slogan. But yeah, I love what y'all doing and so positive. All right, y'all probably like, what is the topic? What is the topic? So I am dancing around it because it's heavy for me, right?
Yeah.
So I know it's heavy for you, but we're talking about caregiving. We're talking about caregiving for our loved ones. And I saw on your page, when I talked to you before, I knew your mother was one that you were taking care of. And I saw on your page, I saw something beautiful on your page. I saw her and you and her laughing. And I believe that was your son playing the piano and she was saying, I love you. And that was just so beautiful. And I said, the next time I talk to you, we got to talk about it. And when I talked to you just before this call, you said you had some life changing events today. Do you mind talking about talking about today's events, and then we'll back up and see how it's been for some time.
Absolutely. Today, I actually had the first hospice appointment for my mother. She has had Alzheimer's for 12 years. We don't have it on that side of my family, so it kind of came out of nowhere for her. And so today was the first time where I had to have a real conversation and an assessment for hospice. I selected a nurse, met with her. She met with my mom. Mm-hmm. And then I also met with a chaplain this afternoon that came and prayed with my mom. And my mom actually smiled. And she's not able to talk a lot. Mm-hmm. She's a lot of word salad, as they say. Incoherent words, but she, after he prayed, she said that was nice, which was beautiful.
My family suffers from Alzheimer's, so I have it on my father's side of the family. So we've had a couple of people in our family go through the process, and it's a sad thing, right? It's I ain't gonna say it's beautiful in one way, but it's. I was talking to my dad about it. And we were saying how they don't go through the pain that we go through. They don't worry about the things we worry about. And the beauty of that is in one sense beautiful, but it's also sad because you don't have that person there that you had before.
Yeah. They call it the longest goodbye. Because again, 12 years is a long time. My mom was diagnosed when she was 65. Young. So that's early onset, right? And then for her to be where she is now is incredible. But you just mentioned too about them and how they have a different mindset. We actually discontinued her blood pressure medicine because her blood pressure is now more controlled because she's stress-free. Mm. She lives in a world where she doesn't have the same stresses. Yes. And I never thought about that, you know, that connection between Alzheimer's patients and the lack of stress, because they just don't have those things that happen. But I have made a conscious decision. I'm just going to be a nice Black lady that comes and sees her and when she forgets fully. The way that she actually remembers me, cousin, is when I kiss her. I give her a bunch of little kisses, and then she knows that I'm her daughter. I'm her only child. So we were extremely close. So I miss my best friend, even though she's alive. I miss her. I miss my mom. When great things happen in my life and I tell her, it doesn't
resonate.
You know, resonate. Yeah. And even when challenging times, I don't have her to come to. And I will tell you, I was a caregiver for my dad who had pancreatic cancer. So I care for him during his time and then the transition with him. And I found out about my mom's Alzheimer's when I was at his funeral. So literally it went from caregiving for him to caregiving for my mom. And I am not, I would think, the personality type when I think about caregiving. I'm a career person, you know, I'm out and about. But this is so tragic and also a blessing. You know, you talk about that, but it's taught me patience. It's given me real time to be able to not think about me, because ego goes, as you know, out the window. You have to jump into their world. If they want to feed the baby, guess what you got to do? Feed that baby until they forget that there is no baby. And so this whole process has been such a learning for me to know that life is so much bigger than me and accomplishments and all of that. Life is love. Life is family. Life is forgiving. Life is giving, you know? And so I want to give her a life as long as I possibly can.
That's beautiful, just said that way. Like I said, my family suffers with it. I'm gonna say suffered. We're still going through it, but I'm not gonna claim it for anybody else going forward. But I had an uncle that had it early on. You know, he was young. He was pretty young, similar to you, maybe in his 50s. I had another aunt that had it in her 50s. No, she had a 60th birthday party, so I remember that. So she was over 60. And I remember this for sure. I used to watch her. I was a kid, a daytime caregiver. I worked from home and I would watch her, right? And her daughter would drop her off and I would have her here all day long, right? And we had so much good time, right? And she was okay. I mean, it wasn't nothing bad, but 5 minutes later, she wouldn't remember. And an example I always give everybody about Alzheimer's, is that I would have a basket of socks that I would take apart every day and bring them down so we could do socks, fold the socks. And then when we finish, I take them back upstairs and undo them and bring them back down. And we enjoyed doing that. And one thing about, she loves stories. We'll watch stories all day long, watch the same one we watched yesterday. But at that time, I didn't realize that, like we just talked about, how much peace they're at. It ain't no problem. I'll do the socks. Ain't no problem. Let's watch the same Steve Harvey. I'm going through it again right now with another aunt, and seeing it the second time, I'm able to process a little better and understand that they are at peace. And the main thing, you would not want somebody to suffer through cancer. You would not want somebody to suffer through accidents and everything else. You hate losing them. But like you said, she's at joy. She's at peace. This is a terrible, terrible disease. To rob time from families, from them, is a terrible disease.
Yeah. And like you said, what I was caring for my dad, you know, he's losing his physical body. Mm-hmm. And for my mom, she's losing her mind. Mm-hmm. And you can't say one is worse than the other, but this feels even longer and it's more challenging because they're right in front of you. And mm-hmm. for my mom specifically, it's been for such a long time, but I think it's beautiful that you spent that quality time with your aunt. You know, even though it's with the socks, you get quality time, which is so important. My mom's birthday was a couple weeks ago on March 3rd. And, you know, we really tried to give her a real birthday. Mm-hmm. Like, we made sure that I got her hair done. Mm-hmm. I got her hair did. Mm-hmm. In the morning we went to church, so she got to have communion. In the evening, she loves jazz. We took her to a jazz club. So we're really trying our best to continue that life. And like you mentioned about your family members, usually people specifically with Alzheimer's, the disease actually starts in the brain 20 years prior. Mm-hmm. So we may not see symptoms for a while, but when we start noticing those patterns of changes, a lot of times there's denial. This has also taught me a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. My grandmother on my father's side had Alzheimer's, and I remember I was in middle and high school. And when she got to a certain point, I didn't want to talk to her because mm-hmm. I couldn't fathom her not remembering me. I didn't have the capacity
at that time,
mm-hmm. you know, to deal with that. So now when people are not here for my mom, and family members have not come to visit her, I have to give them grace and understand everyone deals with this. She has a family member that wants to try to pray it away. She has family members that almost ignore it or say, oh yeah, I'm coming, or I want to do this, but it never falls through. So this has also taught me grace for others, because everyone handles this differently. But when it's for me and it's in my face, you know, I see it not only as a responsibility, but my God, I see it as a gift. Yes. To be able to give back to Yes. this woman who has blessed me with so much.
It is definitely, I say, humbling. Humbling is very humbling. To be able to be that person for them. I know it's difficult. I'm not sure if your mom went through it so far as you would know better, and my cousins and other people would know better. The angry stage, dealing with the mm-hmm. going through having to deal with them being angry, and this it's a rage.
It depends, because different people respond differently. Mm-hmm. Because as beautiful as loving for someone you want to love, you know, care for, it is, oh my goodness, it's equally frustrating. Especially when you have people you're caring for that are combative.
That's what I'm saying. I was talking about on their side being combative.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. You're 100% right. So my mom, she always thought someone was stealing from her for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I had to learn to do is the best advice I got was from Alzheimer's Association. I used to sit in my car and cry because I was like, I don't understand. Like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, mm-hmm. you're not arguing with that person. You're arguing with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You can't argue with that disease. So I had to learn that if she feels someone's stealing with her, I said, well, you know what? I had to support even the lie. So I would say, somebody still, I got your back. Let's go find them. What are you missing? My car. Let's go find your car. Then she have an advocate in me that's helping her instead of me saying, your car is sitting right here, or you don't even have a car. So I just jumped in there, became an advocate for her. And so the behavior started to help less and less. And again, it's not everyone's story, but that was something that really helped to change how she viewed things, because I became an advocate for whatever the issue was that she had, to assist us in dealing with that. She was always saying, I gotta get to the neighbor across the street. She was really anxious at times. And I was like, well, let's go. Instead of me saying, there is a neighbor across the street. Okay, let's go see the neighbor. I open the door and I take her hand. Let's go find him. And we walk outside. And when she noticed that there was no neighbor, you know, then she'd say, well, okay. And we come back in the house. The thing is, my mother was a psychotherapist for Fort Knox. She's had private practice. So she's given the mini mental exam, which is for Alzheimer's, right? The MMSE. She's talked, she's shared people to have them draw the clock draw test. And then she had to do it herself. So I believe with her, there's a bit of not only denial, but also there's also that regret, because she knows what's happening to her at times when she has those awakenings. You know, I had a beautiful awakening. I took her to Paris right before the pandemic. So the one thing I will say before I tell you what happened, that if you have something to do and God puts something in your mind to do it, do it. Don't delay. Just do it. So I had a cousin that actually said that to me. She said, if you've been wanting to take your mom to Paris, go. I was like, all right, book the flight. She actually met me there to help care for my mom. But when we got there, my mom got on her knees and started to pray. She hadn't done that in a long time. So for her to have that thought process and that awakening to know I am somewhere that I need to be grateful for was beautiful. That's she had amazing. A couple of other moments there. But I just say, if you have something to do, because time and life is precious, that it's incredibly important to do it, because we just never know what's going to happen. And we want to just celebrate every moment of life that we can.
One thing I want to use, you sparked on, and one thing I've talked about on the show before, is cherishing the moments, right? And I know we can't right now because the second we just talked is gone, but if we could go back, how many memories should we be recording and documenting? And I always tell people that this right here is part of my my therapy, part of my ministry, everything like that. So it's me documenting history, but I recorded my mother, I recorded my father, having my kids on the show, things of that matter, is being able to record that history. How much of this, like you say, you went to Paris, how much of this is documented, and how much should we be documenting just every day, like regular life?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question, because I like I mentioned LinkedIn before, I post a lot of things on social media about this journey with my mother. And I went back and forth of, do I want to do this? How do I do this with integrity? You know, I pray before anything that I post. I just want to make sure that it's going to land right. And it has been so helpful. I have had hundreds of people that have thanked me, you know, either a phone call or a text message or, you know, LinkedIn or whatever it might be, because they're going through it too. They know what it's like to be fresh. I had a raw moment that I had posted before about sitting in the parking lot. And this was after I saw my mother and I just broke down. And I just said, you know, this is hard. To watch someone you love die before your eyes. There's nothing you can do. And it's really challenging. But I believe that if we can try to document and record the beautiful moments that we have, even the more challenging one, and share them with others. You know, we need our villages. We need our community. It can inspire someone else. All that we do, we know is bigger than us. Everything. It should be bigger than us. And so those moments are there now. There are things that are precious. There are things that that I keep between us that, you know, become sacred. And those are important too. But the moments that we know someone else can benefit from and that can really go out and make a difference in someone's life and maybe encourage them as they go through this walk, I think is important. I will give you the other thing that people have really responded a lot to, and that is, because we're talking about caregiving, we don't want to lack on giving care to ourselves.
That is true. Right?
And so stepping away, that's the, when anyone tells me that they're a caregiver, the first thing I say is, how are you caring for yourself? And most people are like, what? And, oh, I'll do that later. Or I'm like, you may not even be strong enough to do it later if you don't do it now. Mm-hmm. So you talk about moments. I think it's important that we have the precious moments as we're caring for others, but also making sure that we step away, whether it's a moment, a minute, whether it's a day, whether it's a vacation with respite. I think it's so important. And we all have a village, whether it is a village that we've been blessed with in our families, friends, or one that we pay for. Because sometimes you have to use, you got to use Alzheimer's Association resources. Whatever the external resources are, you know, daycare or, you know, having someone come, you know, whatever you need. But I think that's another part of documenting the journey that has been helpful. It's not only showing what we're going through, but also how are we caring for ourselves through this all.
That means a lot right there. I know when we first talked, you talked about dates for yourself and caring for yourself, and now it all ties together on some of the pressures that not only you have as a mom, a wife, entrepreneur, business professional, all of that, but also being a caregiver, making sure you take care of yourself. If you're not there, right?
Yes.
Then everything else is going to fall apart. So you got to make sure you're okay.
But you know what's real? Guilt. That guilt is real. It's real, one, because my mom is now in a memory care. And that was hard to put my mom, like, now she's down the street. And the interesting thing is I always say that she's down the street because I just have to justify that she's somewhere close that I can come because I feel such guilt still. But I remember when I was during the pandemic, you know, I would be on a call and she'd be walking behind me in underwear, or, you know, she'd have an accident in the pantry. And it's like, it became so much. And, you know, you have to know when it's time to use our resources that they're there. It does not mean that we're not doing the right thing. It means we are doing the right thing because you're going to have help with care. So I think that's important. I tell you, the first night that my mom was in memory care was the first night I actually had a full night's sleep in a decade.
In a decade.
And I didn't realize in a decade. I didn't realize it because I remember I woke up, but it was like the next morning and I was like, I didn't wake up in the middle of the night to go check downstairs. There was a sense of peace that she was okay. She was okay. Mm-hmm. And so those things I think are incredibly important too as we're making decisions on what's going to be best for us. But that guilt is real. So learning when you're caring for yourself to do your best to let go of that guilt, as you mentioned, because we have to care for ourselves in order to best care for them and also utilize our resources in that process.
Well, I'm going to hit on two parts very quick, and then I think I'm going to let you go and bring you back for another segment. But you talked about resources. Can you mention some of the resources? I know you mentioned the Alzheimer's Association. Are you a part of any of those, and where can we find those resources?
Yeah, I find the more local ones. So Alzheimer's Association is national, right? Might be international. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but they were just great phone calls, resources, all of that. I found some local places that were great for caregiving. Daycare. Okay. So daycare. So that was great when she was in home. She was able to go to a daycare for me to pick up. There's resources that do respite care. So they can come in, they can spend the night, or if you want to go for a weekend. So I find, do your research on what does it look like for the best local resources. So those are the ones that really helped me.
Thank you. I'm not gonna say close on this, but I want to find out about, you say you put in hospice and that's a difficult thing. I think we need this in everyday life anyway, but planning for that time, right?
Yeah.
I do many shows and talk about that end, right? Because that end is there no matter what.
Absolutely.
I don't care, Alzheimer's or not, it's going to come for all of us at one point. How much should we be preparing for that time and not living like forever?
And I took about three deep breaths just now. You know, even after my conversation with the chaplain today with hospice, I called my husband. I said, I'm doing the right thing, right? Like, you just feel this sense like I'm doing the right thing, because it's difficult, because I think it's so important that you prepare. So as I'm talking to you, there's always still this uncertainty in making these decisions, but it's so important to know, one, what your loved one wants. Mm-hmm. So as much as you can, when you get to this time, I think it's important to know that. Secondly, what really prompted this was her weight loss. Mm. So her weight loss was so significant. She won't be able to eat enough, even though she's eating with assistance. She won't be able to get enough nutrients for her body to sustain probably through the end of the year. Mm. So I had to first get my heart and mind together. I had to tell certain people in segments. I didn't tell everybody at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think to your point, yes, I think it's important you prepare yourself for that, understanding it's going to happen, but knowing that it won't be easy, but use your resources, use your village, and use things like hospice when you get there, because once you're there, it's all about comfort. It's all about making sure that they make the best transition possible. And our job as caregivers is to give them the best life until they transition into the next one.
I can't say no more. Yeah.
Yeah. We can do, but I'm praying for you. It's not easy. And thank you for even sharing your journey as well. And you know, I'm here for you always.
I appreciate it. And I'm nowhere near where you are, my cousins are, and other people, but I want everybody listening, we all could be there one day. And I appreciate you sharing your story. And we're praying for you. We're praying for all the families out here that's going through it. It is difficult. And if you have not seen it, if you have not touched it, if you have not felt it, it is real. So one thing I do always say on the show, go visit somebody. Go to a home and visit somebody. Go just go sit there. If you have a talent, go play the piano for them. Go do a crossword puzzle with them. I go into them. She's in a memory care. My aunt's in a memory care center now. I go there and I joke around with some of the people there. Last time there, I had a man come sit next to me. I don't know whose man is, but I didn't, you know, it's all in love. So I challenge each of you to be selfless and go there, because you don't know what you may bring that day to the atmosphere. It means a lot to them, because some of them don't have
giving our talent.
Yeah.
It's giving our essence. It's giving our talents, our presence. I remember I was sharing with you, I did choreography with my dance ministry. We would go into some of these homes. Mm-hmm. Didn't anticipate that my mom would be in one day. But just going in there and just seeing the light, just seeing their eyes mm-hmm. bright up, it's something beautiful. Mm-hmm. So my boys go in, you mentioned earlier, they play the piano for them. Mm-hmm. They sang. So it's so important. I love that you're saying that. Use our gifts to be a blessing to others.
Don't be selfless. Don't be selfish. Be selfless. So,
right.
My sister, my queen, my friend.
Yeah.
This is heavy, but I appreciate you coming. Anyone out there want to reach you? How can they reach you?
Yeah, I would say either LinkedIn or any of my social pages. And because it's not too many on Teresa, there are some. Mm-hmm. You'll see on Teresa Hart, A-N-T-R-I-E-C-E Hart. And I would love to connect. And if I can encourage any of you, I am so happy to do so. And I hope some of the words today have done that.
Definitely appreciate it. Listen, guys, 762-333-2032. That's 762-333-2032. Definitely leave a text message, a voicemail on that line. Or you can go over to CousinEdsCorner.com. That's CousinEdsCorner.com. Leave a voicemail. Go to the top of the page. Hit leave voicemail. And I will definitely share it with her. And once again, you can go to any social media platform out there and find me and her, Cousin Ed's Corner. And I do this, I don't want to not do it. I want to pray for each of you, as we always do. May you know that God's walking with you. He's beside you. He is your friend. He is your companion. No matter when you turn left or right, he's always there with you. You can always turn to him. God is behind you. God is cleaning up all your transgressions. God is taking care of anything in your past. You don't have to worry about it. Don't hold it over yourself. God is above you. He is your protector. Think about him as your umbrella. All the weight of the world that's coming down on you, he is taking care of it. Even when a little bit of pressure may come, he is totally holding it up. So don't let anything give you too much pressure. God is walking in front of you, clearing a path. Things that may come in front of you that hurt, harm, or danger, he's setting it straight lines for you to decide which way you want to go. So he already knows which way you're going to go, but you have a decision to make, and it always comes back to him. So you always can come back to him. God is beneath us. God wants us to humble ourselves. God wants us to get down on the hands and knees and pray to him, thanking him, knowing that he is the Almighty. Lay your face on the ground. Just say, thank you, God. I couldn't do this without you, God. I give myself to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What a beautiful prayer.
All right, family. Love y'all.
Peace. Oh, God bless.
Hey there, it's Antrice Hart, and I'm hoping you stop by Cousin Ed's Corner. We're waiting for you for this amazing conversation. Come join us.
Thank you for listening to Cousin Ed's Corner.
This is Antrice Hart, and you've been listening to Cousin Ed's Corner.